Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Previously on Chaotic Normal, the crew of Melora's Borealis sailed further in search of the merfolk's home, where they would find a priestess who they believed they could communicate with to remove the curse of the Kraken on me, Robert Graysand. The crew then started to take notice and caught wind of the curse itself and started getting restless as they sailed. But rather than calm the crew down, the officers decided it would be better to push towards the merfolk and rid the curse sooner before it befalls them in the middle of the night. Doing so led to more rumors of mutiny about the ship, and the officers feared for themselves, specifically me, Robert. I was very scared. But before a mutiny could enact itself, the crew managed to find the pillars of the sunken human ruins beneath the waves where the merfolk now make shelter. We now find the crew swimming underwater in search of this Kraken priestess. But will they find more than they bargained for underneath the waves? Let us find out on Chaotic Normal, The Shattered Isles.
Prefer to swim to as you jump into the water.
Hey, before we go, should we come up with some hand signals or something since we can't talk to each other? Anyone got any ideas?
I think with water breathing you can.
Oh, okay.
Is there something we can do to scare away the scary things before we get in there? Is there a big noise we can make or something?
Just be ourselves and learn.
Okay.
Didn't the merfolk that Jules was talking to, didn't she give us, like, instructions of go to the building where man builds beneath the water or something like that?
She was saying this whole place was that.
Oh, all of this was that?
Yeah.
I think the Temple of Melora is a good place to start, though.
Yeah, without knowing wet speak, I don't think you necessarily can speak underwater just by breathing underwater. It's not listed in the in the spell description.
I thought it was for some reason.
Yeah, I did too, but I'm looking at it right now. It's just breathe underwater, unless there's something saying you can speak whenever you can breathe.
I don't think so.
Alright, so if I put my hand underneath my neck like a turkey gobbler, that means I need a heel. Maybe if I do like an X with my arms, that means no.
That said, I've found a sage advice in which they say no rule prohibits verbal components at all from working underwater. And if you're talking, you're not holding your breath. So you can talk underwater. It's just, hello, I'm underwater. Don't do that, though, because it sounds miserable to listen to.
it was.
Yeah, but imagine if all four of you were attempting it.
I kind of liked it.
Yes, all four of us.
Oh my god, there's five of you. I'm used to... What am I even used to? Do I have anything with four? All right. So
it's four usually. Yeah.
You're gazing down into the water. You have a windmill, a municipal building, a temple to Melora, and an ancient one-inspired temple.
I think we head to the temple of Melora. If anything, we'll have a good blessing, and maybe let her know that, hey, by the way, we're, you know, sailing on a ship with your name.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Get the blessing before going further, hopefully.
So Celeste has already worked the druidic magic to give you the blessing of water breathing. Do you take any special precautions before diving in, knowing that if you're wearing heavy armor, it's still pretty difficult to swim?
I just want to clarify, the rule was if the armor grants you disadvantage, it's difficult to swim, right?
Yeah, if it's disadvantage to stealth checks, it's difficult to swim.
Okay, so I'm cool in a chain shirt. I don't know how it works with my...
Do you put on the chain shirt that makes you able to breathe underwater while sinking?
Was it a chain shirt? Or was it a different type of armor?
It was a chain... It was chain mail, I think. Maybe it might have been scale mail.
I think it was scale mail. Yeah. No, I just wear my regular chain shirt.
Does anyone... So also... unless you have a swim speed underwater, you have disadvantage on attack rolls with, I think it's weapons that aren't explicitly piercing.
Oh, I'm going to conjure my little cannon, my little crossbow.
Oh, sorry. It's specifically you have disadvantage on any melee weapon attack roll that is not from a dagger, javelin, short sword, spear, or trident. All ranged attacks automatically miss targets beyond the weapon's normal range, even if the target within normal range of the attack roll has disadvantage unless the weapon is a crossbow, net, or a weapon that is thrown like a javelin, including spear, trident, or dart. So with that in mind, those of you who normally wield swords and axes into combat, do you bring...
I should break. Do we have other stuff on the boat, I imagine?
Yeah, because you stole all those weapons from Gellin Primewater that were meant to arm the lizard folk. You actually have basically the full adventurer's gear loadout. So if you want a spear, it's readily available.
We got a trident?
Oddly enough, yeah, he had a lot of tridents in that pile.
Sweet, okay.
How does casting fire spells underwater work when I have elemental adept fire?
So that's an interesting question. Do we all want to play with the weird water interaction kind of homebrew? Or do we want to play with the way it's canonly written, which is it automatically works because it's magic?
I mean, I'm fine with the homebrew.
Nice, because that makes it where thunder damage is just like auto-critting because... The way thunder moves, it's shoving things, so it's also shoving all of that water. And it's basically like thunder is... I was reading something on Reddit about this. It basically is how torpedoes already work, is that sound damage. It's like if sonar pings you and you're within like 600 feet and swimming near a submarine and its sonar pings you, you'll die from it. Just from the amount of force it's sending through the water towards you, or something like that. The viewers can fact check me and tell me I'm wrong, but we're going to play with that because it's fun. So underwater spells work weird, which means that fire is reduced in its ability. But that doesn't mean, because you have elemental adept, that means that there's no resistances applied, but it's still disadvantage on the attacks.
Okay, so just to clarify, my little bow sentry will work, or should I just go protector cannon?
I have no idea what the bow sentry does, so I don't know how to...
Okay, I'll just go protector cannon.
Okay.
bow sentry is force damage.
Force damage works fine underwater.
Okay, I'll do that instead.
Cool. All right, so you dive beneath the water, swimming downwards through the warm, sun-soaked water, deep, deep, down, because there's no strong currents here, because you rode back into Warthal Keel rather than trying to swim from the entrance to the Channel of Drowned Honor, you pull yourself down without needing an athletics check. You swim by countless moon jellyfish. If this were night, they would be glowing iridescently and terrifyingly, but you move your way down. A swarm of quippers moves beneath you, and yet you pull yourself further and further down into those kelp-infested ruins. You arrive, or the crew of the Melora's Borealis arrives at the Temple of Melora, one of the four buildings standing amidst the ruin of countless others, drowned and wrapped, choked in kelp, and surrounded with this deep crevice into an infinite nighttime, an infinite nightmare beneath the waves. But you move towards this Temple of Melora, sort of a sanctuary, a hope, a freedom, hoping that you could at the least pay a bit of homage to your goddess. You move towards it and you realize that the temple, it does have doors on two sides. There is 1, 2, 3, 4 doors into it. One main door and 3 side doors. But as you look at it, you realize that it's also from the damage taken likely by the whole cliffside collapsing 100 years ago and then 100 years of water damage. There are, on the north and south side, collapsed walls that would allow easy entrance. What is your preference? Would you like to try and use a door in, or which will be difficult underwater, or swim through one of the collapsed entrances?
Collapsed entrance.
North or south?
Which way are we coming from?
Above it. So both are equidistant. It's clear that the north side is the traditional entrance, and the south side is sort of like the back of a house for a church.
Let's do north side.
You swim down beneath, having agreed upon some hand signals so you could do basic communication, but you also are able to talk, although the sound doesn't carry more than 15, 30 feet beneath the waves. And as you move down, you swim close to an old spire of stone that juts from the ground, looking like a stone tentacle of an octopus. You move across it, the kelp seeming to cover every bit of this, or with muscles and growth. You've ever looked at a dock in the Pacific Northwest, or pretty much anywhere in cold water, I guess. You know what this looks like. And as you move farther and farther down, you reach the base of the Temple of Melora and swim inside this ruin. Now it's a wonder for all of you to breathe underwater. As you take a breath, your lungs, they don't hurt. They feel full of air and life, but you feel that strange feeling as your neck, the magic, filters the oxygen from the water, allowing you to breathe. So deep beneath here, you are very aware that if a wizard were to find you and cast dispel magic, you would die. So just keep that in mind. The fact that it is Celeste's magic binding you and protecting you here, everyone except for Zelnern, who can just hold it, you're aware of this.
I mean, for an hour, but...
Yeah. This first room you swim into, at the front of the Temple of Melora, is clearly a chamber of prayer. A chipped statue of Melora sitting in a clamshell, looking resplendent and beautiful, and stroking a conch shell in her hands, stands on the east wall of this room. The skeleton of a human lies at the foot of the statue. There is also a door leading south from this room.
How old does the body look? And how is it? Oh, I guess it probably a lot since it's down here and not floating.
Yeah, it seems ancient and ruined, and you suspect if you were to disturb it, the bones would break apart. There's crabs scuttling across it, but paying it hardly any mind. They've already picked all the meat clean in ancient times.
Hmm. Yeah, swim towards that the other door we see.
You swim towards that door, and with a hard pull, because it's pressurized equally on either side, you are able to open this door. It is a struggle, and if you weren't able to breathe underwater, it would call for a con save to see if you can continue to hold your breath. But you pull the door open into what appears to be a reflection chamber. In this room, you are you find the irony of seeing a glass fish tank in here, overgrown with kelp and full of tiny skeletons of starved fish on the east wall. Meanwhile, a mosaic of Melora's conch, her holy symbol, or like the clamshell holy symbol of Melora, is built into the ceiling. You see the kelp, that aquarium is full of fish skeletons, and the glass is still solid. Clearly, it was meant to once hold all of the treasures and beauties of Melora before this collapsed into the water, and Melora's grace must have guarded it, for it didn't break, and none of the fish escaped from this prison. There is a door on your on the west side that leads out of this room and or out of this temple, and a door on the south side that escapes further. But the room is crowded and overgrown with kelp. And Celeste, with your incredibly keen perception, you spot something large scuttling amidst the kelp. Roll initiative. So, Celeste, your keen eyes notice as you're floating in this chamber, and mind you, in this temple of Melora, the ceilings of this enclosed building are about 10 foot high, with the doorways on either side are 8 feet high and maybe 5 feet across. But you've just swam through a broken part of the wall. I say swam because you are still completely submerged in seawater. The structure around you is made of stone, and there is no light save for what little light is filtering through the through that crack in the wall. But here, looking forward, you see kelp, and as the sunlight streams in, it glints across the kelp, and you notice something stalking throughout the grass. That something comes scurrying forward, striving straight towards Phil, and suddenly snaps out against him, its great serrated claws closing down around the mercenary for 9 to hit. You dodge by it underwater. Actually, you don't have a swim speed. Yeah, so you dodge by it underwater just barely. Ruber, you see this crab in the water, a giant hulking crab, maybe 5 feet across, the likes of which you haven't fought since you went to steal the treasure of Captain Goldier. What do you do?
I'll try and swim up next to it and slash at it with my scimitar, not realizing how much slower I am underwater.
Nice. With the ease of the currents here, it's easy to swim over there, but you swing your blade down towards it. It moves with disadvantage.
I crit, but on the other dice was a 4, so that's going to be plus 6, 10 to hit.
Your technique was perfect, but the weight of the water slows you. Your hand hardly glances, and you just scrape across the hard red shell of this hideous beast. Phil!
No, I'm not done.
Oh, do you have another action?
I have extra attack.
Okay.
Worse. That's going to be 8 to hit.
And then another cut. It's like on to Phil's turn before you even swing that cut. Do you inspire anyone, or is it on to Phil?
It's on to Phil.
Phil, what do you do?
I'm going to shoot it with a firebolt.
You hold your hand up. The small turret next to you, is that what it is, or where's the firebolt? Is it you casting
it's
firebolt?
It's my arcane firearm, yeah.
Okay, you aim that over. You have disadvantage because the thing is next to you. And because you're using a fire spell.
Crit miss.
The fire explodes, just kind of heating the water around you. It boils and burns. In fact, deal dice damage to yourself. As you boil the water about you.
I take 10 plus...
Just dice.
Just dice?
Just okay. Dice damage.
Okay, 10 damage then. And then for my bonus action, I'm going to use my Force Ballista. 15 to hit.
Is that a ranged attack roll?
Yeah, it is.
Although, actually, but, sorry, it's I don't, my sorry, little. I'm not familiar with the artifice thing. So, is it an item you carry, or is it a separate construct that's having to move as well?
It's a separate construct that has to move as well.
Okay, so it's still swimming its way down, or how? What's its move speed? Is it as fast
as
you?
I imagined it was in my pocket, so I'm imagining I'm pulling it out of my pocket and then like tossing it out in the water.
If it's tiny, you can carry it.
Yeah.
Why is it tiny? Why would they build this class to just have bonus attacks? Anyways, all right, keep going. So you pull out the small thing. It's going to have disadvantage then because it's also adjacent.
Okay. Did I say to hit already? I forgot. I got a 24 and a 15 to hit.
The 15 is also or is a hit, so even with disadvantage, it shatters through the crab's shell.
13 damage, and I end my turn.
13 damage, you said?
Yeah.
The crab is obliterated. It floats back in the air, its white meat spreading out into the room, and blue blood joining the air. The crab is destroyed. You look on in front of you, behind the crab amidst the kelp, and you see that in this room, which on the left side of you is this aquarium that's still sealed, once a dedication to Melora and now a tomb for all of the precious things she has in the sea. In fact, even then, probably a tomb and a prison for all of her precious free creatures of the sea. You see that so on the left side of the room, the east side, there is this... still sealed aquarium full of fish skeletons. To your right, the west side, there's a door that leads out of the temple. Behind you is the door that you took to enter into this temple that leads to the prayer room with its collapsed wall. And directly across from you, where the crab's broken body is floating in the water, is another door that leads deeper into the temple.
I think we go deeper into the temple.
You speak through bubbled and gurgling words that the rest of the crew manages to understand. You swim towards this door, and as you try to pull at it, you quickly find that it is stuck, requiring some strength to actually open it.
I'll, like, indicate to Zelnern, like, pointing at him, and then point at the door, and then, like, do a door opening, like, hand signal.
Zelnern first just does the same symbol and then realizes what he actually meant by that.
Zelnern, you swim towards the door and I need a strength athletics now because you don't have a swim speed. It is disadvantage underwater.
Oh, I got it. Oh, disadvantage. Oh, I have to roll that again.
So you crash against it.
9.
You break against the door and the door doesn't seem to want to budge. It shuffles, and you see that it's jammed up against something. It gets open a few inches, and you're able to look and see that it looks like there is an old, ancient body garbed in plate mail wedged up against this door on the other side.
Poke it. Can someone poke it?
Will someone can have I, a stick?
Can I try to, like, use a thorn whip to, like, grab at it?
The body. Yeah, I'll let you make a wisdom nature check to see, or wisdom arcana, I guess, to see how good you are at manipulating this. Wisdom nature will do. Dexterity nature? Dexterity arcana? Something.
That was a lot of things you just.
Let's do a wisdom based nature check. Because your magic is wisdom based, and okay. Nature is your type of magic.
Okay. And it's something I'm proficient in. So 21.
You do a thorn whip. It snaps out across the bones and yanks them. And suddenly the skeleton comes pulling into the room. It raises up in front of you, a halberd in one hand, a shield in the other, garbed in full plate. There's a moment where you think this thing's about to swing. And then its bones and plate drift back towards the ground and the water settling down. Whoa. It seems it's clear to you that the person wearing this plate drowned. There is no damage whatsoever done to their plate mail. If any of you wants plate armor, here is a perfect chance to become equipped with plate armor.
Yeah, if we could get it out of here.
I can't use it.
No, thank you.
You all look at the lunacy that is wearing plate in the ocean, and the door is no longer jammed.
Wait, can we just open it now?
You can. With a good shove, the door swings open, revealing six cracked stone benches that line a path leading up to a stone altar to Melora. It is decorated with clamshells and conches, and it's undoubted. You see, there's clay pots in here that undoubtedly once held plants, and a few of them still hold drowned trees, like basically now just driftwood lodged in earth. And it's clear this room was probably once adorned with natural life, although now it is an undersea ruin, lined and filled, or actually, sorry, not lined with kelp. This ruin seems, this shrine to Melora seems strangely without any sort of kelp having touched it at all. In the shrine itself does sit on a 2-foot-high dais at the south end of the room. And as you kind of look up, swim into this larger room, you realize there are 4 human skeletons lying in the room. And looking at doors on the walls, there is one door on the west side that clearly leads out of the temple. And then there are 2 doors on the east side that look like they lead into the same room.
I guess, yeah, Rubir will just kind of do a cursory glance around the room, see if there's anything on these skeletons. Any other...
And was that Skellington with a hard G?
Yes, of course. Huh. Skellingtons.
Looking at them, you find it doesn't seem like there's anything of significant value. These were commoners or priests or nobles. It's hard to tell because their clothes are so fetid and ruined now weathered and ruined from water and ancient age. They are people who clearly chose to pray to Melora as the Kraken broke them.
If we were proficient in religion, would we be able to understand the layout of the building to know where to go to get a blessing?
Yeah, you could attempt a religion check. You're aware that temples to Melora are pretty rare. She's the wild goddess of nature and passion. So anyone attempting to build a stone structure to fix and hold her worship, it usually fails because her worshippers don't usually find their place of prayer at such spaces. However, in the rare case, because you got 15, that was what you would have gotten with 10. With a 15, you're aware that when they do happen, like for example, Port Providence does have one. You've hit most of the key rooms that you'd find in one: the Chamber of Prayer, the Reflection Chamber, and the Shrine to Melora. What you've missed is a priest's office, a priest's room, and just looking at the map, and they did not put one of these on the map. What you're missing is a priest's office / room. As well as the shrine to, as well as the menagerie shrine, where usually important creatures and beasts and kept and raised in devotion to Melora are housed. So you've not found the priest's office / room, and then the shrine to, or sorry, the menagerie shrine.
Rubir will keep swimming towards one of the doors that seems to look to lead to the same direction.
So you swim towards one of those doors, and you find to your dismay these doors are locked. Not just stuck, but locked.
I'll indicate to Phil the door opening symbol, but then lock picking with my hands twisting and
I don't understand, and I give him a hug underwater.
Thank you. But, key open.
Oh, okay. I do that thing. What do I roll, boss?
It's a thieves' tools check. But you have disadvantage because you're underwater.
Oh, come on.
Someone guide him.
Yeah.
I'll cast.
Go ahead.
Go for it, Jules. You got this.
You got the last one. I'll get this one. Yeah. I kind of brace myself against the wall, and he feels his muscles get a little more steady and less rocky in the microcurrents.
So I got a 10.
You fail to pick the lock.
Then I'll indicate to Zelnern, like, fist smashing.
Zelnern tries to smash it.
Can I try to use shape water to, like, freeze a little block of water to give him, like, a foothold he could push off of, kind of?
I'd let you lend advantage with that.
Sweet.
Some good dice noise.
16.
Did you have guidance from anyone?
I don't think I did.
Yes.
Did anyone give guidance?
Plus a d4. 19.
Did anyone bardic inspire him?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was just checking because I thought I heard that.
Yeah,
I
20.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. I left one of my daggers in the door hinge.
I felt very empowered for that attack.
Did you say 20?
I said 20, exactly.
Wow. Thank God you guys bardic inspired him and guidanced him and lent advantage, which you did without prompting. The door breaks off its hinge thanks to your collective effort. Swings wildly open. As the door swings wildly open, you see the skeletal remains of several beasts litter the floor. They are trapped in small cages, and all of them clearly drowned, and then eventually their bones sort of drifted out of their cages. You see that there is an altar to Melora in here, although it seems to have done nothing to save these beasts. One skeleton garbed in plate armor here and enamored with garbed in armor that's, it appears to have the durability of plate, and the weight of plate, but it is made of tortoise shell, not turtle shell, tortoise shell. The body of him slumps against the shrine, clearly a paladin who once served Melora. Sitting across his hand, or like in his lap, is a elegant looking mace axe whose handle is made of ancient driftwood, and its blade is an opalescent abalone shell that's been carved into a thin plane, and it sparkles like an oil reflection and is absolutely beautiful. Clearly a holy magic weapon of Melora.
Should take that. He attacks with forceful things.
Yeah, I'll try that out. Add it to my repertoire.
I have no idea how to hand sign this underwater, but I want to try to identify it. I point at it, and I give a big shrug. And then I wave my hands, like, kind of mysteriously at it, as if I'm casting some kind of magic.
So it's Zelnar, as you get close, it's clear Jules wants to work some magic before you take up this item and use it. Do you defer to him, or to them, or do you grab it yourself for yourself?
Yeah, I defer to them. That makes sense. We shouldn't be too hasty with, you know, picking up anything.
And so, Jules, to identify an object, you do have to touch it.
It would be a ritual, too, which would take a minute, or 11 minutes to be exact.
And water breathing only lasts 1 hour, right? Or is it 8 hours?
Okay.
So it's 24 hours. You're good.
Yeah.
In that case, 24 hours? I would have to touch it.
It's really you just have the to touch Kraken it. We're okay. worried about right now.
Because I could just remove curse in case there is one. Can you cast that if something isn't cursed and it'll just do nothing, or does it have to be cursed? All curses affecting.
Remove curse does not remove curses from items. It breaks curses if the person is cursed by an item.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, in that case, I will be willing to touch it to identify it.
So, Zelnern, you defer taking it slowly, inspiration for taking it slow, as Jules touches it. Jules, you touch the berserker's axe, and as you do, immediately your mind is filled with images of gnashing teeth, of the bestial rage of a shark who sniffed blood. Make a DC 15 wisdom saving throw against this, or go berserk.
Well, that's a 9.
Would I be able to use Wheel on this one to give him an additional save?
Does it do that to saves?
Yeah, but even on a maximum of 6, wouldn't.
That's true. Never mind.
I mean, he needed to get a DC 15, so a maximum of 6. If he got 9, would put him up to 15.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's so you could attempt to. You see for a moment, Jules is filled with insensate rage. Good word, insensate. Is that even a word?
I don't know, but I like it. Is it a roll I make?
Yeah, I make a D6 roll.
Okay. To cast. I should or you should?
I'll do it. Okay. What could go wrong? I got a 1. Never mind. You should do it.
Jules, you are filled with an insensate rage, and insensate for viewers at home means a lacking sympathy or compassion, unfeeling. For context, or for used in a sentence, insensate rage. You are filled with that, as if a shark who just smelled blood. You wheel on your team, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it's Celeste. It's your turn.
More like I woe on my team.
It's clear that Jules is about to chop you with this axe. What do you do?
Is it
He's
like
only 5 feet in front of you.
Is it like a magic rage type thing that I can... Like, can I tell it's magic or is it just pure rage?
You could use your action to make an arcana check to determine if what the source of his pure rage is.
I'm going to do that. I got a 16.
You look at it and you realize that this axe he's wielding is clearly channeling a curse through him. And by touching it and failing his save, he has become overcome with the magic coursing through it. If you separate him from the axe, the curse might end. So if you disarm him.
Okay, well, that was my action, so I'm going to try to swim away so he doesn't hit me. And
you swim away and gargle that out to everyone. Everyone else, you realize this axe is a curse that Jules has just grabbed. Jules, you are next in the initiative order. So you are wielding a war axe. Everyone except for Celeste is within swimming distance of you, and you feel overcome with the desire to chop them apart and eat their blood.
Eat their blood?
What do you do?
I find the nearest blood bag and try to get some of that blood out.
Which one to use the nearest blood bag? Go on, volunteer.
Blood. It'd be hard to get to. I'm more of a rock than a bag.
Phil and Rubert, which one to use the nearest blood bag?
Rubert's next to him.
Oh. you turn from the turtle, seeing Rubert and Phil. Which one do you pick, Jules? Because they're both being like...
Oh, I'm going to roll for it. Sorry, flip a coin, I guess, is the right term for that.
He takes too long. I attack him.
I got Phil. All
right. You swim towards Phil. Make an attack roll with him. This is a strength-based weapon attack. I don't think warlocks are proficient in war axes, so just your strength mod.
Strength mod. So I got an 11 plus minus 1 is a 10.
And then it's plus 1 for the weapon's own enchantment to 11. Phil, does that hit?
It's a miss.
He swings in the air, but does not successfully hit you. Zelnern, what do you do? Jules has just taken this item and started swinging at it with it at your friends.
I'm going to try to restrain him so someone else can grab it out of his hand more easily.
All right, make an attack roll underwater. And also, Jules should have had disadvantage, but he missed anyways. Make an attack roll underwater.
Does this have a disadvantage?
I'm going to say no, because you're just grabbing a thing who also doesn't have a swim speed, so both of you are floundering in the water.
Nice. I rolled a 19. What do I add? Just
It's a strength athletics, rather. And okay. Jules, you need to contest this with 26. A deck. Jules, see if you can get a dex acrobatics or strength athletics, your choice, that's higher than that.
Okay. Jules, you don't mean to do this. Fight it.
My thing is covering up the... okay, acrobatics, I try to wiggle away.
All right, 15. All right, you try 15. To, but you can't. Zelnern has you pinned and grappled. And as you all hear Zelnern, you realize his voice is equally clear underwater as it... His lipless voice is equally clear underwater as it is above water. In fact, while above water he's incoherent, here he's the most coherent of the bunch.
Everyone, he has, gather around.
He has a mouth made for wet speak.
Wow, Zelnern's really sexy underwater.
It's a... So Zelnern, you've grabbed Jules. You tighten him up and restrain them. Ruber, what do you do?
I'm gonna try and pry the axe from his hand.
All right. So to try and get that out of his hands, give me a strength athletics, or you could attempt to attack to disarm, which would be with disadvantage.
I'll attack and try and disarm him.
All right. So make an attack roll, disadvantage.
Jesus, that's going to be 10 to hit.
10 to hit. All right, Jules, you need to make a strength athletics or dexterity acrobatics to keep your hold on your weapon, whichever's higher.
I try to wriggle out. 16.
So you smack his hand, but it doesn't manage to disarm the blade from him. Ruber, do you have a second attack that you try that with?
Yeah, I'll try that again. That one's going to be 16.
Same thing, Jules.
This time I only get a 9.
You take the hand or the weapon out of his hand, and Jules, you suddenly feel clarity come back to you as the weapon hits the ground, floating there.
I'm so sorry.
There's a moment where you like shake Jules to make sure they're fine, and you all kind of realize, okay, Jules is back to normal, and the this abalone shell blade with a driftwood handle axe that you clearly realize is a berserker axe is now drifting on the ground. Jules, you got a brief enough glimpse with your identify that you realize this thing grants its wielder a +1 bonus to attack and damage rolls, and it is a magic weapon. However, a person wielding it, like that attunes to it, which just requires, quote, embracing or withstanding the shark. That's what it is. So if you succeed on that wisdom save, you attune to it. Your hit point maximum increases by 1 for each level you have attained.
Wow.
So if you're set at 6th level, you get +6 HP for wielding this weapon, and it's +1 to attacks and damage rolls. However, what you encountered is it is cursed with the shark, or with the berserker axe curse, in this case, a shark's rage. The axe is cursed, and becoming attuned to it extends the curse to you. As long as you remained cursed, you are unwilling to part with the axe, keeping it within reach at all times. You also have disadvantage on attack rolls with weapons that are not the axe, unless no foe is within 60 feet of you that you can see or hear. Whenever a hostile creature damages you while the axe is in your possession, you must succeed on a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or go berserk. While berserk, you must use your action each round to attack the creature nearest to you with the axe. If you can make extra attacks as part of the attack action, you use those extra attacks, moving to attack the nearest creature after you fail your current target. If you have multiple possible targets, you attack one at random. You are berserk until you start your turn with no creatures within 60 feet of you that you can see or hear. So, +1 weapon with a hit point kicker that makes it to where you risk going a berserker murder rampage every time you get hit.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to stick with the radiant infusion on there. Do we think we can remove a curse and it would still be good? And is there a way we can store this successfully where someone isn't holding it?
I guess whoever's attuned is not going to be willing to part too far from it, so... I don't know how to remove a curse from an item, but maybe
it usually requires some sort of story quest, and it's possible that Yalaga, the Kraken priestess, might know how to remove this effect. Although it seemed that the curse, such as it is here, was also the source of the magic. So you wonder if basically Melora's blessing on this act was to give them the fervor and ferocity of a shark.
Did the, what is it, the Unleaven? Is that their name?
Yes, the Burati.
Did they comment on whether they would be willing to accept cursed items?
They do take cursed items. Okay. Just hey, they not worth
my cursed.
That's because it was a hag cursed torture device. Not a. It had no positive side attached to it. It was just the curse.
If we like wrapped it in cloth, could we carry it with us? Because you're not then like touching the item itself.
Yeah, you find some wet cloth in the room. The cape of the paladin. And then you wrap it in the wet cloth of the paladin's cape. And you tuck that under your arm. Because I assume no one brought their bag down here. No one's trying to swim with a heavy adventurer's bag and also ruining all their gear with salt water.
Yeah.
So you have found the, you know, as you feel the salt water chafe underneath your armor, because I assumed you were all, you all said you were still wearing your normal leathers and stuff. As you feel that salt water uncomfortably chafe and you're going to itch forever, you tuck the Berserker's Axe under one of your arms. Who is carrying that?
I should carry it just so that if it does happen again, it's not somebody super strong.
That's a good idea. I kind of want to be berserking and raging, though. So
that would be pretty cool.
We could just lock him in a room until he's done.
Just let him wear himself out. I think, is this the end of the hall?
So it does seem that this chamber this chamber seems to end here, save for one door leading out of it.
Go to that last door. As Robert kind of like, it's just rather than swimming, kind of like pulling himself along the wall, because I feel like that would be faster.
You open that last door to the sight of broken wood furniture lying on the cracked floor. A 2-foot diameter hole in the ceiling allows light from outside to enter and provide entry and exit to the swarm of quippers that lives here. Speaking of swarm of quippers, as soon as you open the door, these ferocious piranha-like saltwater fish see you and begin to move towards you. We're going to keep that same initiative from earlier, but I'm going to roll the quippers and do it at a 18. Phil, you see, as Robert opens the door, a swarm of carnivorous fish come coursing towards him. What do you do?
I shoot him with my arcane firearm.
You shoot Robert with an arcane firearm?
No, I shoot these fish, baby.
All right, you shoot into the swarm. 220s
to hit.
So despite the disadvantage underwater, the arcane firearm burns into them. Make your damage rolls.
15.
15. The fish burn, and that actually bloodies them, reducing the swarm to below half health, meaning they're weaker, but still the swarm is committed. Do you use your bonus action?
Yep, force ballista, 13 to hit.
That just barely hits the swarm of quippers.
For 11 damage.
The swarm of quippers is nearly destroyed. The last few of the fish swim forward, snapping out with their teeth at Robert. Robert is 6 to hit a hit. No. The quippers snap and bite at you, but there's so few of them left, it means hardly anything. Celeste, there's like 2 fish left. What do you do?
I'll cast Thorn Whip at them.
Yeah. So you have like a thing of bull whip kelp? Whatever that's called.
Lashes coming out of the ground whips them for 26.
That's a hit.
For 9 damage.
And the last of the 2 quippers die. The room behind you, the room behind the quippers, you see, broken wood furniture, as I described, is scattered across the cracked floor. There is a 2-foot diameter hole in the ceiling, allowing light from outside to enter. And as you kind of search through debris here, you do find a golden shell-shaped holy symbol of Melora worth 15 gold pieces.
I take that.
You also
displayed on our ship.
Nice. You also see that this is clearly the priest's office and room. Broken wood furniture and rusty mattress springs, the mattress itself, long since gone, are on display here. And as you kind of search about the room, everyone make a investigation check.
13.
8.
9.
Crit.
5. No, 8.
Celeste, your investigation skills are the best because you flip a card and it basically reveals to you to look in a particular corner, and you realize there is a secret compartment in the wall. Pushing on the, pulling a piece, like a stone panel there, it slides to the side. And behind you see that there is a, there's, you know, it's already long since waterlogged, so whatever notes were in here are gone, but there is a rusted iron symbol shaped like a kraken.
Is there a way to tell what that means based on what we've been researching?
Make a religion check.
I got a crit again!
You realize looking at this, so it looks kind of like a weird sharp octopus's head with surrounded by tentacles. And as you look at it, you're aware that this is a symbol. This is clearly a holy symbol of Valistroth, the kraken, also known as Valstooge, that this town turned from. As you look at this rusty iron holy symbol, it's pretty clear to you that this priest... while he turned to worship of Melora, still, at least privately or secretly, kept worship of the Kraken Valstooge.
Does that mean he could help us?
He's dead.
Oh.
You're rifling through his old dead things. So, you have found the old dead... So it's clear to you that the priest of Melora, supposedly, never clearly fully transitioned to Melora, yet Valistroth, Valstooge, the Kraken, still punished this town. However, it doesn't seem there is anything else in this temple. This revelation that the priest had kept themselves to... this revelation that the priest had kept themselves as actually secretly still a worshiper of the Kraken suggests to you that this temple was never properly consecrated. Meaning if you're seeking any sort of blessing from Melora, this might not be a valuable place to find it. Or perhaps your hope is to reconsecrate it in her name.
Does Celeste show that Kraken symbol to anyone?
Yeah. I show it to people and I kind of point at it, but because we're underwater, I'm not really good at communicating it. And then I try to like show that we need to like go, because none of us are like priestesses of Melora.
Yeah.
I think a cat.
Consecrating this bird, not consecrating it. The other one, hollowing.
Am I familiar if there's a way that we could do that?
The consecrate, desecrate spell, whatever that's called, hallow spell. Okay.
Got it.
So, which is a fifth level evocation spell belonging to clerics.
Did not have that one.
Yeah, I think we get out of here. Do you leave the Kraken symbol behind?
Am I aware, based on my role, if it would be cursed if I grabbed it?
It might be. You don't know. Without detect magic to see if there's any magic lingering on it, or identify actually physically touch it later. Would you like to cast that as a spell, or as a ritual?
As a ritual. Are people cool with hanging out for a few minutes while I ambiguously perform a ritual underwater?
Sure.
We got timing on our side.
Like
rituals are Zeldarin's favorite kind of spell, so yeah, that's cool.
I wish they would all be rituals. You spend 10 minutes here underwater casting the incantation. When you can finally detect magic, there is no magic lingering on this holy symbol.
Oh yeah, then I grab the holy symbol.
All right, you take the rusty thing and like part of it chuffs off and chafes off in your hands, like flakes of rust fall off into the water. You add that, like kind of stick that in your waistband because it's small enough. But it doesn't seem like there is anything else of significance in this temple to Melora. You could try praying at the shrine to Melora or at the chamber of prayer. But otherwise, there doesn't seem to be anything of significance here.
I think it might be worth at least like doing a quick prayer at the shrine. Robert will do that. Actually, you know what? No, yeah. Robert doesn't do that.
I'll do that. I'm religious.
I'm superstitious. I would follow Celeste's role.
Read the room. It seems like the appropriate thing to do.
Yeah, Zelnern's down for that.
So do you do the chamber of prayer where you saw the statue of Melora in her clamshell, or do you do the shrine to Melora that was more like the place where like ceremonies were held?
Why not both?
Are we able to tell the difference?
Private personal prayer is usually done in the chamber of prayer, while ceremonies are usually held in the shrine of Melora.
Would we be cursed if we did the ceremony wrong? Like, is Melora upset, or does she, like, bless you for trying?
Oh, bless you for trying.
Like you probably know what it is because we all like worship Melora, but just so in case.
It's most likely a prayer goes completely unanswered. It is possible a prayer goes answered, but it is also possible that a prayer goes poorly. And the better you are at religion, the more likely it is to go well. The worse you are at religion, the more likely it is to go poorly. It's going to be a charisma religion check. Sorry, a intelligence religion check.
Okay, so like a regular religion check?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if we want to all do it together as a ceremony, that's cool.
I'm down.
I'm down to also do it. If we all want to do it privately, that's cool too.
What are you guys going to pray for?
What are you praying for?
Ending this Kraken curse. That's my number one thing right now.
For Melora's guidance and to let the sea guide us where we should go.
I'm praying that Melora grants us the blessing of getting to eat a lot of kraken meat.
Oh, I don't... That's got to be tainted meat. Please don't harvest any of that and bring it on board.
That also means the kraken is, like, for sure gonna show up.
But it also means we're gonna kill it, most likely.
Hopefully.
I mean, you can cut off a tentacle and eat that. Like, I mean, you don't. I mean, yes, of course, you don't want to waste any of the kraken. You use the whole, every part of the kraken.
Kraken calamari.
But we don't want any of that meat on board.
Jules is gonna pray for freedom from the curse of their patron, and deliverance from the evils of the Shattered Isles.
All right.
Pray for?
Phil's like, oh, you know, I can't hear you underwater, but Phil prays that Jules' crew respects him and that Zelnern grows a beard and that Celeste's cards read true and that the captain of the Melora's Borealis is strong and well.
Aww.
That was weirdly not specifically naming of
if Celeste cards read true, the healer card will lead us to hopefully people not dying. That'd be pretty rad.
Fingers crossed.
Are we all making the religion check, or one of us?
Anyone praying has to make the religion check.
Okay. Are we able to cast guidance on each other while, or like, cast blessing or something while we are?
I'm going to use my inspiration on this one, too, because it seems like a big deal down here.
I'd say you could guide, yes.
Okay. I'll guide you who...
Oh. Yeah, I have I'll minus guide... one, so that's why I'm using that.
I'll guide Rubert by... I'll kind of take a watery breath for a minute, and then my head kind of clears, and it kind of clears your head and lets you focus more on your...
That's dope. Do it for the guy that doesn't want to pray. I respect that.
All right.
Yeah, Robert's kind of going through the motions. But, oh, but he fucking crit.
Again.
Got an 11.
Classic.
My advantage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, get rid of the Kraken. I know we would bear your name, but and I respect you all, Melora, but I've never been a religious man. Yeah, do your thing. Respect and all that. Big ups to Melora.
Big ups. Yeah, that works. My guidance what goes is to the. Fill. All right, what is the. Sorry, who got at least a DC 15?
I did.
I did.
I did.
Robert Crit.
Nice. Okay.
Got a 23.
Those of you who pass, or which is DC 15, you gain Melora's blessing of shifting waters. Though you suddenly feel yourself suddenly aware of the way the water churns about you, and you're sure if you're above water ground, it'd be the way the winds and sails push about you. If at any point you can use this once, you may, as a free action, if you are surrounded by two or more enemies, you can for free move 10 feet away from them. Use that once.
So that
it's Melora. It's basically, without provoking opportunity attacks or anything, just free movement away from them. It can pull you out up and over as the winds push you, or beneath the water as the waters shift you away, as Melora has granted you her boon of escape.
Dope.
Anyone who passed it can use it once. Those that failed, did you get 5 or less?
No, I got 11.
All right. No sort of prayer or blessing comes to you, Zelnern.
Sorry, Zelnern.
If you had gotten 5 or less, it would have been to give you all the Kraken meat you wanted.
Oh, man.
Oh my God. In the form of live, ready-to-eat Kraken. Cool. So you have explored the Temple of Melora in Warthal Keel, one of 4 buildings. There still remains a few scattered ruins, a windmill that still turns in the water, a municipal building that seems decorated in the style of, done as like with some hints towards Ancient One design, and then another temple that's done in Ancient One fashion. Clearly, an older temple than this Temple of Melora. You have not found any sign of Yelaga, the Kraken priest, but there is still that lurking deep chasm all about you. What's your preference of next location to go to? The municipal building, the windmill, or the ancient temple?
I think we head towards the ancient temple. Time is not on our side. It's your friend Ryan who plays your favorite bard, Rubair Grace, and on Chaotic Normal, The Shattered Isles. Hope everyone's having a jolly good time out there. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes, share with your friends, family, neighbors, your baker that you visit every day to pick up your daily bread. Thanks so much for listening. Did I already say that? You can never thank anyone too much. But send any questions, comments, concerns, or you know what? Your favorite coupons? Any couponing tips? Send those to chaoticnormalpod@gmail.com and I'll chase read over all of those. Big thanks to Julius H. and Guilherme Bernandez from Pixabay for the additional music. Been trying some stuff out. Hopefully it's not too much, but I really enjoy those tunes. So give those guys a look on pixabay.com. And yeah, I'll talk to y'all next week for the further adventures of Melora's Borealis. So until next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.